You're listening to DraftKings Network.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So I went to visit my mother in Newark the other day. Oh. Actually, yesterday.
Okay.
My sister just dropped off a gift for you, right?
She did. That was very kind of her. Yeah, yeah, for Mateo.
She goes, yo, Christian got a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. So
he still claims him?
Yeah. Kid hasn't left yet. He's trying. He's opening doors. But he hasn't left yet. But my mother also brought a gift. And the gift is for me, but I'm going to allow you to try it. How's that? Okay. I know you eat chicken. You eat chicken,
right? I wear a medium, not 5XL.
This is a Cuban delicacy called pasta de bocadito. Have you ever had this before?
Never had it. Never heard of it.
Let me explain to you. You can take that out of the bag. I opened it already.
Okay. So she sent the pretzel as well?
I got that from over here. Now, this is the most Latin way to get food. What does it say on top of that container?
On top of the container, it says marinated fresh mozzarella, cheese in oils, herbs, and spices.
Okay, what does it say on the side of the container?
Side of the container says freshly grated Parmesan product.
And inside the container is neither of those two.
Neither of those things.
Yes, this is.
You got to reuse the container.
This is how Latinos. You want to hit me with that ISO real quick? Yeah. Just so people can see? Yeah. Boom. All right, I don't know if you can read that. We got the fresh mozzarella and oil. This was very good. I had that product, and this was just a large container of fresh Parmesan. If the top fits, you clean that out. That's a new Tupperware.
That's right. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, we care about the environment. That's why Latinos do it. All right, so this is pasta de bocadito. What do you see?
This looks like pimento cheese dip.
Okay.
Offhand, I mean.
We only know that because we have pimento cheese, but it doesn't have that color. It's not like a typical product you
eat. Right. With Heather O'Reilly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here, I got this because normally you got to put it on bread. This is the closest thing we have to bread.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured let's take a little bit if you want to try it. This is a specialty of my family.
Okay.
And this is the one thing that my grandmother used to make that my mother's actually pretty good at making.
Damn, all right, we're grading mom versus grandma.
You better like it, by the way, or else Daisy's going to come in and hit you with a chocolate.
Okay, can you tell me what's in it or no?
Yeah, it's a blended chicken. It's like chicken. She actually used a Costco chicken.
Oh, okay.
It's like blended with like spices, a little bit of heat, peppers.
All right. Here I go.
Huh?
That's legit amazing.
Thank you.
That's really good.
This was like an afternoon snack.
Mm.
Like you would just get like a piece of bread, put some of this on it.
Think of it like Cuban hummus.
Yes.
That's it.
It's it comes from pate, but it doesn't have any liver or anything in it.
Mm.
It's like the pieces of the chicken left over from if you cook a whole chicken.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that's attached to bones that you don't know what to do with. You scrape it all off. You blend it with like peppers and all this stuff. It's absolutely incredible, no?
It's like, because initially I thought it was going to be like chicken salad, which is usually doesn't taste that good because it's not really seasoned or flavored.
Well, variable. Christian, we're not white.
Well, yeah. I got to remind myself sometimes.
What am I?
But no, that's very, very good. Bocadito de qué?
Pasta de bocadito.
Pasta de bocadito.
You make it into little sandwiches, but don't you think as a Latino it tastes better because it's in a container? That is not the container for the food product?
Yeah. There's something.
Like a country crock. Oh, you got a country crock container? Whatever's in there is going to be banging.
It's just absolutely delicious. And there's usually not country crock in there. Mm. All right?
I don't think there ever was. They must sell empty country crock
containers.
It's like
the typical Latino, the what are those cookies that always have?
The butter cookies.
The butter cookies.
The tin.
That always have.
The sewing equipment.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I don't know what it is about.
Is this common in your house, the sewing equipment and the butter containers, or is this just a Latino thing?
Do we have one? I can't even think. I don't think so.
I grew up in.
If only you were sitting next to someone from your.
I know. For everyone who doesn't know, my mother is here. She wanted to come watch the last episode. show that I'm doing.
Mommy Miguelito is
yes,
here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Señora.
Señora Miguelito, yeah, exactly.
Is here.
Your mom is so sweet. I don't know how you came out this way.
Yeah,
it's
I know,
amazing.
Right? It's crazy. Everyone says that.
But no, this is this is our final episode on the Levitard and Friends Network.
You gotta hit a poppy one last time.
That's right.
It's the Cooligans.
It is
buddy.
The Cooligans.
That's the last time you hit, unless you do it at the end of
yeah,
the
show. Yeah, we'll do it at the end of the show.
It could happen again. Who knows?
Can you?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
We could have done that the whole time.
So Miguelito's mom came through to watch the taping as well. And yeah, so I mean, look.
Although we've got
right, that's where it ends.
To the end of the contract road.
So we'll talk about it as we wrap up. But obviously, it's an exciting and bittersweet time right now. But we will get through our final contractually obligated episode
that's
for Metalark.
Right. We're like those artists that are making an album. They don't want to make it together.
It's like Taylor's. We have to remake every single episode of the Cooligans podcast.
Or that Frank Ocean album that's just sounds. You know?
Yahoo was like the Cooligans Yahoo's version. Yeah.
So we will be joining Yahoo next week. But yeah. So
let's start the episode by saying thank you everyone at Metalark and DraftKings Network that had, you know, that helped us get this, you know, show going and off the ground and
everything.
Bringing us Miguelito, all these, all the wonderful things. So thank you to everyone there.
Without a doubt.
There's so many rumors and questions about the move and the change.
Bro, the
does mommy
the,
not love daddy anymore? There's so many.
The Levitard Show Reddit page is crazy, bro.
They,
the rumors there, I can't even. But part of me is flattered that people think such ridiculous things about my of our lives.
Yes, I look. You need a tinfoil hat sometimes just to get on Reddit. Did you hear MIA? Remember that?
Paper plane. Yeah.
She's starting a clothing brand that has tinfoil in hats.
Oh.
But it's like bucket hats. They're cool looking, but it's tinfoil, so your brain doesn't get any 5G in it.
Bro, because the 5G is what gives you COVID.
Yeah. That's 5G also stops you from making a hit for 15 years.
She's a legend, bro. Yeah. I love MIA.
She's missing in action, hence the name.
So,
but anyway, yes, there's a lot of theories. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. Everyone, no one has any clue of what's happening except the people who are part of Gully Squad and our Patreon. They know exactly why and what.
We've given some of the behind the scenes. But
also, we're excited for Yahoo, man. That's going to be crazy.
Very much so. It's been an exciting time. And working with a lot of the folks at Levitard Show, it's also been dope in that, you know, I grew up watching Levitard Show and all this other stuff.
Dude, I mean, you know, Cuban-American in sports, there's not that many.
We've
met both of them, him and Max Brados. and now he has me.
So that part of it is awesome. So that's what makes it obviously bittersweet, but,
we met a lot of cool people that work there, so many dope people.
Yeah. So, we'll have more to say. But we have, today we obviously have to go over everything happening in Copa America and the Euros. We attended our first Argentina match.
Our first Copa America match.
Our first Copa America match. Yeah.
Wow, I went to Copa America before you guys. I went to Copa America Centenario last time it was here.
Oh,
I
saw
Colombia versus
his mic off.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Wow. Flexing on us like
bragging
that.
A little too much.
In front of Señora.
On the way out.
In front of Señora Miguelito, bro. Wow.
So our first time going to a game, and definitely an Argentina match is incredibly unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sold out MetLife Stadium.
Right.
There were plenty of Chileans, but I mean
there was more Inter Miami jerseys than there were Chilean jerseys. Though, if I'm being honest,
look, Messi's quite popular.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some of the matches in the Euros that happened this week, and kind of preview the knockout rounds of the Euros as well. So let's start. Where should we start? With the games.
Well, the bracket is set. We now know the knockout, the round of 16.
We're starting with Copa America.
Oh,
not Euros.
Very cool.
Yeah,
so the bracket is not set.
The bracket is not set. It's far from set. Let's just talk about the game that we went to. Obviously, that was on Tuesday.
We're recording this before USA Panama.
Correct. All right.
So we're not going to be able to review that. But
yeah,
we did go to Argentina, Chile. Tell me what you think of the experience of going to a big important. Have you ever been to a big important soccer match at MetLife?
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
like friendlies.
It's a couple Metro Stars games. I don't know.
So the answer's still no.
Important.
Well, no, you went to one with. Well, Beckham, so the place is pretty full.
I've seen at Giant Stadium before MetLife was built. But I've been to matches that have been full, but never with the importance of of the, like a Copa America.
My first
match.
Professional match ever was a World Cup in '94. That was I was very young and it was very cool. Friends of my mom who worked with her were like, "We're going. We have an extra ticket. We know your son loves soccer. Would he love to come with us?" And my mom's like, "Do not let these white people steal you. But they are taking you to Ireland, Italy." They were Irish. They were very lit for Ireland.
Yeah.
I was like, "I kind of like the food over there more." And they were like, "Not right now. but just hold it for 90 minutes, please." But that felt. There was an importance. You could feel the vibe of when you're walking in, how important it was for both sides. This is the closest it's been to that for being in that, because Giant Stadium and MetLife, MetLife is just a new stadium they built next door. This is the first time since that match that I could feel like, oh, this is wildly significant. This isn't just a fun event.
Right, and there were, obviously, lots and lots of Argentinian people. I mentioned to you, I'm like, I grew up in New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, and maybe that's it's like its own bubble of like different types of Latinos. I'm like, it took me till I was like 25 before I met my first Argentinian person. And I'm like, where are they hiding? Where are
they
all
the Argentinians? They were pretending to be Italian this whole time. Yeah, they weren't benching her.
Like, what? This? It's like,
hey, they were like, forget about it, Baluzo.
What a combo. But the fact that it was 81,106 people that attend that. I was like,
funny enough, when the Spanish guy read it out after and translated it, it was 107.
Yeah. Which is
so
like,
he's like, would you forget about me? I've been here the whole time, bro.
So this is you know, in stadium, Latino in stadium announcer erasure.
Yeah, bro.
How dare you?
You would love if I wasn't here, wouldn't you?
English announcer.
Building that wall.
Trying to take. Anyway, so a lot of people. And then there were a lot of Argentina jerseys. I don't know how many Argentinians they actually were. You know what I mean? I mean, the brand of Argentina is so big that people are like, oh, I got to go wear my Argentina jerseys to go to this game.
I don't want
to
get struck down by the official, the algorithm. So we'll say there was Argentina-themed hats that you may have seen on the 6th of the first month of the year.
There were, oddly.
But I found out what it is. It's because they got their own.
They got
like
their
that.
Own.
Yeah.
We can't. So we've been getting, not dinged per se.
But they've been saying, like, you can't say anything that leans in that category.
Well, no, you can't talk
anything
about anything.
In that whole thing. Left or right.
It sounds like we're. Like, because they're worried that we're influencing the election.
Can you
say election?
I don't know. It's going to get us thinged at this point.
I feel
though.
Like election is
no,
allowed.
No, I don't think you're allowed to say that either.
A video about Declan Rice, and I got taken down off TikTok, so I have no idea what they're looking for.
Can you cut out that word
I'll
he just used?
I'll bleep it.
I'll bleep it.
So we saw a couple of those hats. People that are.
Which surprised me.
Are fans of. You know, the orange man that's going to prison.
Yeah.
And the Argentinian man that has the sideburns.
Yeah.
That's a weird, wacky haircut. He looked like he stepped off the plane and he's a Beatle. You know what I mean?
He looks like he just wrote the wildest concerto in 1700.
Okay. Mr. Captain Austerity. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wow. If anyone gets that, leave a comment.
So. So the game in itself was, I mean, in my opinion, pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't realize Messi got hurt. Remember, you actually commented about how, man, he takes these wild knocks and he doesn't go down.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out he did get injured a little bit. Yeah. He did feel it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen Messi play a couple times in person. And this game in particular, this game was not too insanely aggressive. There were a couple moments where... Rodrigo De Paul, we couldn't really see it from our seats, but there was he stepped on a guy that it looked like it's crazy that he didn't get a red for it.
Really?
But, yeah. There were a couple moments.
The game definitely got chippy. That Chile, I think, was like, if you even start to play well, we're gonna start knocking you down a little bit.
Yeah. And then also we couldn't really exactly tell when we were at the game, but I forgot which player it was, but I think it was an Argentinian defender that... grabbed the guy's leg. Did you see this photo of him holding?
Yeah. It was Guido Rodriguez.
Guido Rodriguez. And he's literally holding his leg, not letting him move. And like no card. I don't think any Argentinian player got a card.
The ref was, I think, just happy to see Messi.
Yeah,
you know? I don't know what was going on there.
We're looking at the stats minute to minute, and yeah, there were no yellow cards issued to any of the Argentinian players, which is wild,
ridiculous,
because there were a couple. And to say Chile did foul Argentina way more, understandable,
but they weren't the only ones fouling.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the main thing. This game was like, it was just a little bit disappointing. I don't know.
You could see the expected goals on Chile's side. They had three shots. Three good shots, though. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I noticed just from the vantage point we were at, which is above Dibu Martinez for the first half.
Yeah, behind the goal, yeah.
No, actually, we were above him for the second half because Argentina scoring the other side. There was two or three times where Chile had, I think, two shots from outside the box, one from the top of the box, and they were strong shots. And he parried them away, or they bounced off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no other red shirt. Maybe the last shot, there was one guy fairly close, but not close enough to be able to pounce on that rebound. And it was so frustrating because I'm like, man, you guys are not getting opportunities. You work so hard to get up there. You get up there, you take a shot, and there's no one that can benefit from such a tough shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Realistically, Chile should have scored two goals in this match, realistically.
Sure. I mean, look, the first half was brutal for them because I don't think they had any shots.
No, their expected goals were 0.00.
so it was really, really
bad. Looked like my bank account after going on vacation, bro. It's crazy.
I'm trying to find the picture of the dude. I can't find it, but
it was actually Nico Gonzalez, my fault.
Oh, okay. Nico Gonzalez. So, it had, like, some interesting moments. And like I said, about Messi, he ended up having like a hamstring issue. Hey, okay, we're looking at it now. And this was not called anything.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this moment in particular, he's literally somebody. I don't know if it was a joke or if it was like a real thing, but they have the picture of Nico holding the dude's foot, and they basically made it into a Nike ad. It was like, buy these boots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that's beautiful.
So it was pretty funny. But I think the fanfare, my experience as a fan watching the game, the fanfare was probably a little bit more entertaining than the game itself.
Yeah.
There was a part.
At least until like the 80th minute.
Yeah, yeah. Towards the end when Argentina was, I was just pummeling Chile. I thought they were going to hold on. And it was just, and it was, even that was kind of, I just wanted a goal. And I'm like, at one point, I was like, I don't care who scores.
Yeah.
Somebody, please. I'm not interested in the storyline or the table. Right. I want to leave having seen a goal at MetLife or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, they did their thing. Messi, I'm trying to think of, like, if the casual fan was there to go see Messi, did they leave happy? Did they feel like they saw an entertaining game? I don't exactly know. I think everyone
had their opportunity to cheer him on as he had, you know, possession of the ball.
There were great moments. There was amazing buildup and the passing and like, obviously watching it on TV is a little bit different than watching it live because you can see plays building up. The main thing I noticed watching Argentina play live is I told this to you when we were at the game. It is when Argentina lose the ball, it is Lionel Messi and 10 N'Golo Kantes.
Mm-hmm.
These guys.
Messi
like,
watches over as 10 guys.
He's just like summons, go get the ball, return the ball to me. Yeah. It was unbelievable the amount of effort and work that all the players put in to just get the ball back.
Yeah.
Literally, Messi, well, you know, when he has the ball, you'll see four or five players
then
around
him. Then I think everyone parts a little bit, and kind of like, let's see what he could do.
Yeah.
Give him space to do some magic.
But, man, when Argentina don't have the ball, it is wild.
I think also they knew playing against Chile, again, a rival for so long, not in their best form.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot of memories of, obviously, the two Copa America finals that they lost against
them. Golden era is definitely done. Two of those players... Two, I guess three, because Claudio Bravo as well. But really, Alexis Sanchez and Vargas are like the two leftovers from that golden that era.
Mauricio Isla, he's still playing.
Oh God, Isla's there.
He's 36.
Jesus. All right, this explains so much. you could just see the quality that Chile used to have. They do not have anymore.
Yeah.
And these players are a little bit older, where they still have the intensity. Alexis Sanchez is still a great player. You know, Claudio Bravo, still a great goalkeeper.
Yeah, he had to save them.
He's your Chilean player of the match for sure. Mm-hmm. Vargas, everyone else, Isla as well. I can't even remember. I can't even believe Isla's still there.
The left winger, Victor Davila, he was the one guy that I was like, yo, who is this? He was like cutting up a couple folks.
Yeah. Also, the guy who came in, someone came in. One of the subs and started really making space for himself on their left, Argentina's right.
I was impressed with him.
But you could see that the old age stars are very aged at this point.
Yeah.
And it's the intensity still there. It's that step, that first step. And there were moments where I think Argentina just knew, yo, if you just crowd around the Chilean player, no other players are getting in position to receive a pass.
Sure.
Everyone's just gunning for the goal. So if you just kind of crowd around them, they'll try to step over two or three players and lose possession. And that's exactly what kept happening over and over and over again, to the point where I was just like, I don't want Argentina to win, but they're the ones that are actually playing. So let them ball, bro.
They showed up, you know?
You get out of their way.
So Lautaro Martinez ended up getting the goal, and it is what it is. It was, I think it was just relief for a lot of Argentinian fans because, now they don't have to worry about their third game as much, the one against Peru. Peru played Canada. Canada got their first win. The Jesse Marsh era.
Yeah. First goal in the Jesse Marsh era.
Yeah, Jonathan Davis.
They also won their first UFC bout in the Jesse Marsh era. It's crazy.
This was an intense game. Obviously, there was a red card issued to Peru, a foul on Schaffelberg that, I mean.
If that was in the street, the dude would be in a cop car.
So, it was a violent, he went over the ball, but, he studs into the
He kicked the ball so he could purposely, studs up.
Yeah, it's just, he didn't mean it, but.
Nah, he meant that.
He didn't mean that.
I think he meant to do it.
He got the ball first.
No, I think they were playing chippy, and this was his way of being like,
okay.
The ball.
Yeah, I mean, they were beefing quite a bit.
Yeah, this was back and forth. But I like the attitude. The one thing about Jesse Marsh, though, is he's got that slightly edge to him. You know, I don't want to call it anger, but he's like, no one's going to push me around.
Sure.
And I think
Leeds, too.
To say that John Herdman was that way or that Canada was that way under John Herdman, but this game had a little bit of like, hey, coach saying like, yo, puff your chest out.
Okay.
Go out there and stunt, bro. You guys are playing in Europe. You guys are great.
Yeah.
Go out there and stunt a little bit and don't take no shit.
Peru is a strong team. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Michael Peruvian.
Right. He looks so Dominican, that guy.
I mean, everybody's Dominican. Yeah. Dominicans can look like anything.
The way he dresses, he's got the tight fade. He's got the tight jeans. Bro, when he walked in the room, I thought he was Dominican. I was like, oh, this girl loves Dominican. Everyone in this family is dating a Dominican. And then he turns out he was Peruvian. He also looks like, what's the player? Not young.
Alexander Collins.
Alexander Collins.
Literally spitting image. It's pretty surreal. Anyway.
Just a shorter version of him.
So, big win for Canada. Peru's in a bad spot. What's their group looking like?
Argentina, Canada.
Yeah, Argentina, looks like Canada. Chile, Peru. It's sort of surprising.
Jamaica also in the mud.
Yeah, yeah. I said...
Dude, Mexico is in the mud, too.
Yeah, Mexico started
we're gonna
in the
get
mud,
to, but I said Canada, I didn't think they would win any games. I'm surprised that they did. I think that was a really, really big win against Peru, especially when in a game that was that testy. So, let's...
They played Peru.
Peru's not... They're not slouches.
No, but they're not in the same group. How'd they play?
They are in the same group. This is the group. Argentina, Chile, Peru, Canada.
We were talking about Jamaica.
No, he mentioned Mexico. Mexico's in the mud.
Yeah, but you just said I thought Jamaica wouldn't win any games.
I did not say that. I said Canada. I said that last week.
Honestly, I think all Canadians think they're Jamaican at this point. So.
There is a lot of crossover in Toronto.
At least in Toronto.
Wagwanda, Lyle.
Let's talk. There's not really much. Jamaica, I think they got hard done by the ref. The first goal that they gave up, the one that bounced, that took a wild deflection, and Andre Blake what's he gonna do?
A great looking goal though. The angle, it looked like a corner kick. It was an Olympico.
The thing I hated, the announcer, the Spanish announcer on through the end, it was like, he saw the shot and then he was like, golazo. And I'm like, that's not a golazo.
It's an own golazo.
That is such
is that fair?
Fluke, ridiculous.
But it's still, I mean, what a crazy angle.
It
literally was an Olympico, but the person who kicked the ball was heading towards the touchline. It was just odd. It's hard to explain.
But I also thought the, and this will be relevant in the Venezuela-Mexico game, but the handball that was not called for Jamaica. Jamaica was trying to tie this game up and towards the end, and there is a clear.
I don't think it's that clear.
It is a hand. The ball hits his hand and then his face.
But no. If you can't say that, there's no footage that shows that exactly, though, because you can't tell if it hits the face first. So you got to go with how it was called on the pitch. He puts his hand up. The ball's kicked like right next to his face into the face hand area.
Okay, we're looking. We can't show it, but we can't. We're looking at it now.
Look, you don't see the hand hit that ball right there. You just see the hand by the
ball. Look at the ball.
Watch.
Okay,
it doesn't change trajectory.
It 100% does.
No, it doesn't. Watch.
Look.
Watch.
Right there.
No, it doesn't.
You see the ball.
This is awesome, considering it's not even on the screen.
You see the ball change its like spin a little. Right there.
I don't know. I don't think you could say that emphatically. It does kind of look like that, I will say. But is that clear and obvious?
Look
though?
At his hand flick back. Right there. The hand flicks back before the face.
But also it was kicked right next to him.
That is true. But still, he's using his hand to control the ball in the box.
Not really.
It's helping him stop the ball.
If you're watching in slow-mo in real time, he's controlling the ball.
No, he's not controlling
it. If I whip a basketball in your face from a foot away and you put your hand up and
let's
it grazes your hand.
Let's grab the ball behind you.
If you graze it with your hand, do not do that. If you graze it with your hand, I'm like, oh, he was about to cross me off. No.
Nah, man. I could not believe they didn't get this call, man. This was a clear handball. Well, look,
that doesn't look like two different movements.
It got reviewed, meaning the VAR said, hey, I think there's a clear and obvious error. I think this is a handball in the box. And then the referee goes to look at it and he says, I disagree. So somebody thought it was, meaning the VAR, the assistant VAR, said, hey, we should recommend this because
or,
it looks like a penalty.
You might want to look at this. It's questionable.
No, but you can't send it to the ref if it's like, oh, because then that's re-refereeing. The VAR says, I'm sending it to you because I think that
you may need to look at this angle.
There's a clear and obvious error. I think there's an error that has been made.
I don't know if it has to be clear and obvious until he goes. I don't think the VAR has to suggest it's clear and obvious.
Get Christina Uncle on the line.
Yo. All right, here's my cousin named Christina. Now, she's not a ref. Yeah.
Okay. No.
You stupid is probably what she would say.
This is, I thought that was just unbelievable that they didn't get that call. And then end up losing 3-1 and because obviously they're sending all the players forward and whatever. So, you know, Mikel Antonio scores the first goal for Jamaica in Copa America, and it's a great storyline. They didn't play great, and that's obvious, but it should have been 2-2. I thought that was kind of wild. So
can we talk a little bit about one of the narratives coming out about this? People both in Latin America and in Europe seem to be upset about this tournament happening in America because they feel like the vibes in the stands don't match the passion you would have seen in South America.
That's pretty obvious. Right. I mean, just because.
But does that matter? Because the money being made.
The money.
is not like you would have seen in South America.
Yeah. You know, Victor Montagliani is not really worried. about.
He's like, I can't. You got that little baby.
The CONCACAF president. Not really worried that much about it. Look, when you see the game. The Peru-Canada game, where you see the stands, and it's also a referee passing out.
This is so hot. Why would you play at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, the game was just way too early.
And I hope he's okay. I think word is that he's fine now, but no one knows for sure.
So that you look at the stands, and you see so many empty seats. It's a little bit disappointing. It'll obviously, we know. Because we were also at MetLife in Argentina, it's 81,000 people. So there's certain teams that obviously can draw a lot more people. Also, the prices of the tickets has been another complaint because the
people still paying.
But this is we've seen this. Remember when we were talking when the U.S. soccer presidency was going on, and remember I think they had revealed their like strategy. There was like a image that was going around from one of their meetings of like. That essentially they're prioritizing selling tickets at higher prices and having less fans, and they make the same amount of money. So they're sort of fine with that.
Because, right, because it opens the door to potentially have more fans going. If more people buy tickets, then you make even more money.
Exactly. So they, but like the way they budget and the way they have their projections, they're like, even if there's 10,000 seats empty, we still make as much money, because then to sell those tickets, we have to sell them at a lower price. And then maybe we sell those tickets and, you know, maybe it's the opposing team, the opposing country that is there and makes it harder for the U.S. men or U.S. women or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is seemingly the strategy.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we might have less fans, but it's we make the same amount of money. So I think I've seen a lot of the discourse, because it's, you know, people have been basically saying, like, focus on selling out first and then think about profits. But hey, this is America, buddy. Yeah. I don't know.
Whoa. Whoa.
Slow it
down.
Did
you say think about profits a second?
I mean, and look, and not to say I agree with it, but hey, this is the sad reality.
Yeah, that we know how business is done here. It's all about the bottom line.
Okay. So, look, if I hope it can change too, but because I hate seeing empty seats anywhere. But yeah, it is what it is.
That's like when we were at the Argentina Chile game, we saw a fight break out on the lower level to the left of us. And in my head, I'm like, you pay $400 each to come in here and then fight and get kicked out in the middle.
To get thrown out?
Well, like, it's crazy.
You really.
If I'm in Europe and I paid 7 pence, you know, for the season ticket, you know, and I bought 8 pints before, £1 each. Yeah, maybe I'd take a couple swings, especially if I have free healthcare. You got no healthcare.
No.
Okay? Bro. You got no healthcare. You pay $400 each so that you can fight and meet a police officer and not get to watch the rest of the game?
Hey, officer, what's the score?
Yeah. I mean,
what's going on?
Could you at least hold me in the doorway so I could see the game?
He's like, I don't even know what sport we're playing right now.
What could have happened?
Yeah.
That would cause you to fight when you've already spent so much money to be there.
You know what it was? They probably had one of those signs that we posted the other day.
Yeah.
We're super offended by it.
Good God.
Okay. So, so let's get to Mexico, because we got we gotta talk about this national team. And people are getting, more and more concerned every day.
Are they? I feel like they're getting more and more indifferent. And that's the pain.
Yo, when San Marino is cooking you.
Okay, you know that's not real San Marino? Did you know this?
No, but it's not the real San Marino?
No, turns out it's an Argentinian guy.
Really?
It's killing me, but he's so funny.
I thought this was the real San Marino.
No. Why would the real San Marino go with at San Marino team?
I don't know. But they can't. At San Marino is probably taken by the country of San Marino. Anyway, but this was this account has been roasting the Mexican national team and saying, "Hey, miren, este es el país que hace memes y se ríe de los demás países. Vamos a reírnos de ellos ahora," which is the Nelson
look
from The Simpsons. Like, yeah. It's basically saying like,
hear ye.
Yeah. This is the country that makes memes and makes fun of all the other countries. Let's laugh at them. Now, they lose 1-0 to Venezuela, which again, another team. I don't know what this perception of like the CONMEBOL teams are like, even the lower sort of table ones. Shouldn't be respected. Venezuela has never qualified for a World Cup, so people are like,
soccer's not even the number one sport in their country. They're baseball,
right? But they point out Venezuela never made a World Cup. Still some pretty good players. It's not Yangel Herrera, obviously Salomon Rondon,
the elder statesman at this point.
Hey, Brujo, they're Brujo. Bro. So it's not like the players are trash. And I thought in the first half that I thought they were the better team.
Yeah.
Mexico definitely in the second half. You know, Venezuela were like, all right, we got to just low block.
Yeah, and let's just keep it tight here so they don't score.
But they played a great game. Mexico didn't really have many ideas.
No, Mexico is in a weird place, man. We've been talking about Santi Jimenez for a while.
That miss, bro.
Bro, how? And here's my thing. I've been supporting this man. I'm like, bro, Jimmy Lozano, bro, you got to play him. Why are you playing Henry Martin, who's, you know, like an older Club America player? Never really felt like he was of the quality of the national team. And certainly not at the highest levels. Maybe if you're going to play like a Copa America or a Gold Cup and you don't care, you could send someone like Henry Martin. He could be like your B team. But, like, hey, you got to get the guy who's scoring buckets in Europe, Santi Jimenez. He's young. He's laying you down, too, bro. Bro, I watched that game. I saw that miss, and I was like, bro, bring Henry Morgan back in here, bro. Okay.
We need to increase the average age of this team, bro. Young guys ain't doing it.
Bro, it was just wild to see that miss, and I'm like, all right, man, it's not just the narrative against you, bro. You're starting to write some of this yourself.
Yeah.
But the whole team just feels uninterested.
I don't know if it's uninterested, not the word I use. I think there's something to the immense amount of pressure that they have to deal with that I don't think that they can. But
do they look like they're having a good time playing the game, even with each other, within the group?
No. Because you sort of, the way you hear.
I'm fine if you're not a good team, but like, yo, we're going to, for our country. That last part is not happening.
Because we see it at, like, we see Czechia, and we see all the teams, like, they're not.
Romania!
Georgia,
don't even know what to do when they get the ball.
Georgia, like, there's a certain, not only just a level of pride, but there's a, like, yeah, there's a, you know, they have to show out. They have to, like, give it their absolute all.
And by the way, if any Romanians, I was only kidding. I know you guys don't do as well. You guys are actually playing incredible. I'm glad you guys finished
up. You didn't say anything that disparaging.
No, I said they don't do the ball. I don't want that because I feel like, you know, our editor, Jamie, is going to be like, I'm going to cut that right there.
That's going to be locked up next to Andrew Tate.
No beef with the Romanians. In fact, yo, anyone from out in that area, that region, I'm with all of you. You're right. They're the problem. And then you could just cut whatever it is. You know what I mean? Whichever one y'all got beef with, I'm sure. And then when I'm with them, it's you the problem. I'm for sale when it comes to that.
So, I think there's a, you saw the, there was a clip of, what's his name? The defensive mid that got injured.
Alvarez.
Edson Alvarez. Of him watching the game. And there's a clip, somebody, I think, through the internet tweeted this, of him watching, not the Santi miss, but like a different miss. And the disgust of he's watching his team. He wants to be out there, but he watched his teammate miss. And it wasn't just like, oh man, like, all right, next one. It wasn't that. It was like, why?
Yeah.
You know, like, you see the pressure. And that's
disbelief.
That's what I think is happening with this team. They're not all like, and it sounds like a little bit corny because we hear like the U.S. men's national team and you see how Weston or Yunus Musa or Pulisic or the way they talk about each other, like, oh, we believe in Greg, we support this team, or we support each other, and there's like this unity.
Yeah, Mexico seems like, yeah, Jimmy's all right.
He's like, he's fine or whatever. Like,
yeah, I mean, he says stuff sometimes.
I mean, he's calling right now. I'm not gonna answer.
I blocked him. I blocked his number, but
he was just calling too much.
But I feel like I see him. You know, I see him at training sometimes.
He's like, he's calling to invite you to the national team. Yeah. Nah, not right now. I'm busy.
I actually made his last name Likely and his first name Scam on my phone just so that I wouldn't pick up.
And that's kind of that seems to be the energy of the team.
There is even the fans, like we talked to Diego, who we met at the comedy show that we both did. That's also a pickup game, who was like, the worst thing that could possibly happen is Mexico wins 1-0 and backs into the knockout stages, because then there will be people who are like, see, Jimmy's not that bad, when he knows it's a full rebuild that needs to happen.
And then they get a penalty on the same exact handball that we were just debating, the same hand, and then the face.
This one was a lot more egregious, more obvious.
Yeah, it was just slightly. I thought initially it rocketed off his face, but.
Did you? Oh no, I knew it was the hand right away.
I thought it was because
he played it off.
I mean, the acting.
As soon as it hit his hand, he was like, "Ah, my face! 100% my face.
His hand is swollen. Yeah. My face is. Yeah. You cannot believe my face is
his
so injured.
His hand has the pentagons in it, and he's like, "Why? Everyone should be looking at my face only."
So, because he acted wild and collapsed when that happened.
Very smart. But VAR knows all.
VAR
unless you're playing for Jamaica.
So and then Orbelin Pineda gets a penalty and gets an opportunity, and then the goalkeeper
saves it.
And what was it? He had a good game.
Yeah, Romo.
Romo. Isn't there Romo? Yeah, it's a Romo on Mexico as well. So, look, I don't know what Mexico. I don't know what the
wait, is Tony Romo Mexican?
Tony Romo is Mexican.
Yeah, he is Hispanic.
He is Hispanic. Yeah, yeah.
Tony Romo?
Yeah. Tony Rogue. Yes. All, you know, lost a lot of playoff matches, playoff games.
Wow. So he is Mexican. Did he ever get to a fifth game of a playoff?
He never. That's it. We know. Tony Romo never got to the quinto partido.
Tony Romo's grandfather was from Mexico.
Yeah, dude.
That's
you can't
crazy.
Be, you can't be a Romo without that Latino blood.
I did not know that, man. I heard that man speak, and I was like, that's not.
No, does Tony Romo speak Spanish, which I don't think
definitely
he
does.
No.
Y'all know say Jim?
Yeah. So
he does a lot of no es bueno, you know.
All right. So we gotta talk some Euros next and look forward to that. But Copa America has been lit to say the least. And all right, so let's get to the Euros.
The memes are great, by the way. Euros is like, you know, the tactics board or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And Copa America is like kids fighting with sticks. It's been pretty wild.
So, Miguelito, let us know what we got to talk about in the Euros.
So we're talking about Euros now. The bracket is live, gentlemen. The round of 16 is ready to go. We've got some really good matchups. It's crazy. I think the thing I noticed most was just how heavy one side of the bracket
is.
Oh,
very much so. There's an Alexis side and a Christian side.
Okay.
I didn't mean it like that, bro.
There is. This seesaw is going one way. Yeah.
Christian's feet are dangling.
Okay. Yes. The left side of the bracket is definitely the stronger one.
The tougher one, but it does. I feel like the games on the right hand side are going to be much better.
But I feel like that has been the theme of these Euros,
which is why I'm saying that.
The heavy teams, the Alexis teams,
right? Not as much fun.
Not as much fun.
Not as much movement on that side. It's a lot more couch, a lot more of a sedate lifestyle.
Yeah, and then look, the quote unquote smaller nations,
dude. Romania, Netherlands is going to be crazy.
That's a wild one. We'll get to the fact that they even got there and won the group. And Netherlands, you know, coming in second or whatever.
Netherlands is going to be the away team.
Yeah.
Against Romania.
So
think about that. Johan Cruyff versus Romania.
Was it
Christo?
Haji.
Christo?
Haji.
Player. Yeah.
His, like, son or grandson plays on this team. I don't remember which one it is.
Really? Yeah. That's dope.
So
real
quick.
Those kids were crazy.
The left side of the bracket is Spain against Georgia, Germany, Denmark, Portland, Slovenia.
Portland.
Portland, Portugal. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yo, okay. Timber's got a tall task there.
Just with the thorns. What are they doing here? France and Belgium. So that's the left side and the right side of the bracket.
Romania versus New York Red Bull.
No, the Fire qualified this time. Remember, they're trying to go for a World
Cup.
They're
so close.
Romania, Netherlands, Austria, Turkey, Turkey, right? That's they were.
Turkey.
Yeah. Have you heard that they officially want to be?
Yeah,
that's
Turkey.
It's spelled differently in everything.
As they're supposed to. There's an umlaut. Did you know that the capital I has a dot on top of it?
Okay.
If you don't put a dot on the top of the capital I, it's a different letter.
Interesting. We're look, people learning.
I'm so international, bro.
England is facing Slovakia and Switzerland.
Italy is going to be great.
That's going to be an interesting game. So
can I get some flowers? Thank you. did I not tell you about Austria?
You did.
Did I not credit talk about Austria? Did I not say they would surprise you?
Yeah.
Who topped the group with France in it? Was it France?
It was not France.
Bruh. It was Austria.
Austria beat Netherlands. And that game against Netherlands was probably one of the more entertaining games.
This was the best game of the whole Euros.
Yeah.
For sure.
This was, they got the Daniel Malin with the own goal, which was brutal. But the fact that they had the lead. They get Memphis Depay scoring that goal was that was a great goal that initially was like looked at for a handball, but
it was like a little, it was almost like a crane kick kind of a thing.
It was bouncy between two players
with the headband.
My man's looking sharp. He's not re-signing with Atletico, right?
No, he's a free agent. Yeah.
He's a free agent, so
maybe he just
got
himself a new contract.
Get ready to learn Major League Soccer.
Kids coming with bars. You ain't gonna understand any of them.
But that goal from Sabitzer, it was beautiful.
Oh,
I mean, and the beauty of Virgil van Dijk to set Sabitzer up, give him a nice a lot of space, a lot of
this is how good he is.
Kept that offside line behind the goalpost.
Yo, Virgil van Dijk said, I really want to play Romain. Because I heard the vibes in the stands is crazy.
Dude, I could not make sense of why Virgil van Dijk, of all people, was standing there. Like, we've interviewed plenty of defenders, lots of center backs, you know? Everybody's always like, hey, push up, move the line. And
very rarely do you see one go, hey, I'm going to go over here and leave all this space.
It was like comical how much space Sabitzer had to make the run.
Virgil van Dijk is the best, if not one of the best, center backs in the world right now.
Sure.
But we've seen over like the last, I don't know what, couple of months, every once in a while, he just has a little glitch.
Little mistakes, yeah. I mean, with Liverpool, we saw the one where he there was a confusion with him and Allison, and he let the ball bounce.
He pointed. Nobody was there to accept the point, you know?
Okay. He's at the pointing stage of his career.
Yeah.
He's like, hey.
We all get there.
Somebody should be right there.
Right. I used to laugh at them, but every once in a while, my wife gets up to go to the bathroom. I go, hey, would you mind getting me the remote? She's like, it's not that far from you. I'm like, you said the word far in that sentence.
So, but a great goal from Sabitzer to put that away. And love the celebration.
Yeah.
Why do you respect the fact that doing somebody else's celebration?
I'm not a fan of it. Remember when this was a popular thing? I hated
Rashford.
That. I feel like sometimes it's the last thing you saw. Remember Christian Pulisic's first goal for Dortmund? He got to the touchline, didn't know what to do, and then dabbed. And people asked him about it. He's like, honestly, I froze. I didn't know what to do. Someone dabbed last week, and it was in my mind, so I dabbed.
Right.
So like, I think it happened.
I don't know. I did the funky monkey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know
Dude,
what else.
You ripped up the pitch while you were doing the running man. Yeah.
You get to something a little bit more modern. But
Cole Palmer, though, his influence is all over the
Cole
place.
Cole Palmer influence.
Unless you're Southgate.
Yeah,
exactly. And then you're like, who?
We're seeing more Cole Palmer play for Austria than for England.
Well, did you see, too, two young Chelsea players that just signed for the team did the Cole Palmer.
Dude, the kid in Brazil is supposed to be like the next Neymar.
Yeah. He
did the Cole Palmer.
Yeah, dude.
And Kendrick Paez at Copa America.
Kendrick Paez.
The brand is strong. Southgate don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's not much to say about that. Group C, both games.
I will say, though, Austria look great. I don't know if that style that I mentioned would be a surprise. I don't know how well that's going to do in the knockout stages. Because if you're going to press and press and press, that means you're going to leave some room behind you.
Yeah.
And this is when teams tend to camp out a little bit until you get to the latter stages. But group of six to round of 16, I think the right-hand side is going to be exciting.
But the group C, disgusting, embarrassing.
These games happened already. I don't know if you're seeing this.
It's just nil. Both nil-nil matches, just unbelievable. And it's even the English fans are already frustrated, and we've already spoken about how
they topped the group, and it's everyone's mad. I don't know how else to explain this.
they've done the best they could possibly do.
Yeah, and everyone
is still upset.
Yeah. But for good reason, because they somehow stink while doing the best they could have done.
Phil Foden was like, I'm out, bro.
Phil Foden, Fabrizio Romano just tweeted, he went to...
his wife had a kid.
His wife has his third kid.
Third kid? He's like 23, bro.
Bro, get a TV in your bedroom, okay?
Get on it, bro.
Dude, I am way behind Phil Foden.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So, can we get Senora Miguelito to give advice? You know, she said pull out. That's what she said. Phil, you gotta understand.
That's from her, not us. We would never.
Well, I would never say that.
I would
that
never
to
say
you.
Anything so gross.
She's a lovely woman, but she has very direct advice.
Anyway, she's literally.
I have to apologize to her as soon as the show's over. By the way.
That was brutal. I mean, the other one, Group E.
Could we talk about England a little bit? Because
I'm tired of talking about how this is ridiculous.
But look, I'm all for, we don't root for England, and we're frustrated watching England.
This is where I'm at with England. Bench Harry Kane. I don't think he needs to be starting. I don't think he's,
hold on, this is.
Wow, yeah, hold on.
This
say
is
it again.
Not that
to
easy.
The camera and
Can
say
you,
it
hold
again.
On, go, cut to my ISO real quick. The thoughts you're about to hear are those of Christian Polanco, not the Cooligans. Go ahead.
I don't think he's contributing enough for what this the style of play
what
that
you want him to do. No one's passing him the ball.
And that's the problem. So bench him, give somebody else a shot, because it doesn't really matter who's at that position. So let's see if somebody else can do something different. When Cole Palmer got into this game, finally played at the third game, I'm like, okay, something different, a couple more, like, more aggressive.
That's a midfielder,
attacking,
though, like rushing at a defender.
Give somebody else a chance. This
I
is,
think the
this
midfield
is, crazy.
Is the problem. I think the midfield's the problem, not Harry Kane. Yo, you're going to put the most prolific goal scorer in the whole competition on the bench?
He's not scoring.
Because he's not getting passes. That's like you fire your chef for not cooking when ain't nothing in the fridge, dog.
Something has to change, because this is it's
what I
want to
say. Look, Harry Kane, I can't believe I'm defending a player. But feel free to stay in the squad, Harry Kane. What I'm going to talk about is, like, for all the England fans, look, the passion, the excitement, the ferocity. Again, a word I've used before, that's not really a word. The way you guys root for your clubs, the display of the fan base is amazing. Why are you throwing stuff at the coach when you're top of the group? Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Boo all you want. I don't think no one's ever had a problem with booing. Other than Kevin De Bruyne. Other than him who pulled... Did you see him pull a team away? He's like, we're not going to go clap to the fans?
Yeah.
But you can't throw... One of them got near. Like, one of the Cubs, like, hit his foot.
Yeah.
It's kind of... I'm like, yo,
no,
it's a little...
No, it's wildly disrespectful.
It makes you look bad when right now the focus should be on how Garrett Southgate has the team looking.
They were booing one of the national anthems in the first game. They have not done anything to make themselves look at the
which
England
is
fans.
Part of England heritage, yeah, right? Yeah. You're going to make a mockery of whatever country you show up at. But
it's... Look, I mean, look... Throwing stuff at Southgate is crazy. The standard is not high enough. And they... These are... Again, all these players... thrive at their clubs.
And they're all attacking players. Do we have their squad up?
Yeah.
Look at this. Harry Kane, the highest goal scorer in Bundesliga. Bellingham found out he could score when he got to Real Madrid. You got Bukayo Saka, one of the best attacking players in all of England. You got Phil Foden, a wonderkind of sorts that is becoming world-class, if not is already world-class.
He was Premier League Player of the Season.
Declan Rice. People were simply talking about him over 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago as being a discount at $100 million. Conor Gallagher just got put in, so we don't need to. Kyle Walker, one of the best attacking right backs in the game today. John Stones, one of the best attacking center backs in the game today.
Walker, to me, is not one of the best attacking. I think he's one of the best defending.
They both go forward very well. Yeah. Kyle Walker knows how to get forward. So does John Stones. In fact, you know, changed the game a little bit when Pep Guardiola asked him to step into the midfield. If you look at the heat map of the last Champions League final in Istanbul, it's like in front of the top of the box. It's crazy for a center back. What I'm simply telling you is I named everything except three players on this squad: Gehi, Trippier, and Gallagher. And out of all those three players, I said how great all those are attacking. What's the one thing this England team ain't doing?
Yeah, scoring.
They're not attacking. They're not scoring.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They can't find any. There's no ideas. I think
it has to be Gareth Southgate asking them not to.
I feel like the players are sort of on this island. Like Saka for Arsenal can go 1v1 and find somebody that can
He drives at defenders. He cuts in. He creates anxious moments for backlines.
The frustration that you're seeing from this is what I sort of it feels like. It feels like. Teams can figure out how to frustrate England because you see every time Phil Foden takes a shot or misses an opportunity and the frustration of even missing shots is like there's something about the body language. There's something about like the chemistry amongst the players. It's really bad. That's why I'm simply saying like if this is how it is, let's just see something else because I don't think that you're going to make changes where they're going to give up goals and they're going to lose.
Yeah, but I think I don't completely disagree with what you're saying, but I guess the point for me is like if you're saying you're treating the symptom, not the disease. You're saying Harry Kane isn't scoring, so put someone else in there because whatever, it doesn't matter if the nine's not going to do anything. What I'm saying, why are we having the probably the greatest scorer of our generation if you're English, why are we having him and not being able to score? That's for me, let's treat the disease, not the symptom, not what we see.
Yeah, but even when, even the substitution. I didn't want to go into this game much.
Can we really just say that we love seeing England lose? It makes us so happy. But they're not losing.
But it's
they're winning badly.
Lose in an entertaining way, right? They're not even doing that. But even the subs, when Kobbie Mainoo comes in, I still feel like there's not an idea of like, oh, we're putting
he
him in.
He was trying more, though. He was making more forward passes.
But it's just still that there's like.
Connor Gallagher was a mistake. Trent Alexander-Arnold was a mistake, but it's not both their faults.
No, no, I'm not. It's just, I think, all I'm saying is like, something like, change, like, they have the instructions that they're getting are are not like, yo, let loose, make a difference out there. It's not that.
Here's how bad of a job Garrett Southgate is doing. Again, does not deserve to have stuff thrown at him. But here's how bad of a job he's doing. Someone tweeted out, Garrett Southgate wears a helmet on his Peloton.
Right, right.
So, you see what I'm saying? Now, that right there, if the memes coming out are about you like that, you're not doing a good job as the coach.
Yeah, it's really, it's just disappointing.
And again, top of the group.
Yeah.
Imagine they win this.
We're like screaming at them. We're like, what? We can't get higher than this.
Yeah, they're like, we couldn't do much more.
So, I mean, yeah, the group, the other group I want to just mention is just another, just Belgium. You mentioned Kevin De Bruyne not, you know, not
Belgium
wanting.
Belgium stinks, dude. They're so bad.
It is not great. Tedesco's not doing a great job.
Yeah, this is another.
They need a guy named like Bobby Tabasco. Really spice things up. I don't even know what that means, by the way.
No, that's my mechanic, Bobby Tabasco.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He should have never gone away. He didn't do it.
The again, just a disappointing. The fact that Belgium finished second in this group is wild. And then
I would be happy to say, all right, Belgium, you're out. Ukraine, you get that second 100%. Spot.
Yeah, and Ukraine. And,
well, how do they all finish on 4 points? It's just crazy.
It's just all three. Like one, they all won. One drew one and lost one. And really this is why the. You know, not getting yellow cards in tournaments is really, really crucial. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody complains about the rule about getting when you get two yellow cards.
Both teams got six, but was it Slovakia had or Ukraine had one of their technical staff get a yellow card, and that's what got them over.
Is that what it was?
That was the other group. That was the other group. No, because Slovenia.
Oh, Slovenia. So Slovakia, Slovenia. My bad, y'all.
So
American education.
Ukraine. Is you have mentioned it before, right? That they're the first team with 4 points to not move to the next round, and I believe there are teams with 3 points in other groups.
Denmark, mm-hmm. Denmark got through with
that,
3 points.
That did, and then I think I saw, was it Ian Dark or somebody kind of point this out, like that this isn't fair that a team that did better than another team moves on, mm-hmm. but this is. The four teams in this group are the ones trying to get out. You have to, if you have 4 points, you probably should have been in third.
Right.
You know, depending on, obviously, you would assume they would at least finish third.
Fourth, you should be in second, but you can't argue, well, other teams with less points, they're in different groups.
They're in different groups. So you have the opportunity within your group to at least get to third and have a decent goal differential or whatever, or have whatever advantages you need to be one of the top third place teams.
Yeah. And shouts to Ukraine, though, for they did TIFOs with like supporters' names who passed away during the war. Keep reminding people that the war is still happening out there. It's a beautiful gesture, and I'm sorry that they're struggling and going through so much pain out there.
So a lot of emotion, I think.
Yeah, which is why I'm like, yo, Belgium, y'all ain't really trying. Ukraine, you go through.
So it was wild. Yeah, this is a strange sort of turn of events here, but it leaves. When's the first game? June 29th.
June 30th.
No, it's 29th.
Switzerland versus
Italy and Germany, Denmark. Denmark. So those games will be back in 2 days. All right. There's a couple other things we got to get to. The Olympic roster for the U.S. women's Olympics. So we'll get to that in a second.
So like Christian mentioned, we're talking Olympics. The USWNT's roster was released yesterday, and there are some very surprising. I guess some people are very upset. Subtractions, additions about on both sides. Alex Morgan is not there. Corbin Albert is. You know, how are we feeling about this team?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is a podcast, guys. You had
right. We got to talk, right? look, if you're Alex Morgan, I think you saw the signs, right? She was left off the previous roster and then brought back in. Was that She Believes?
Gold Cup?
Gold Cup? It might be the Gold Cup. She was left off the roster.
Was she left off of that? I don't know.
Yeah, then for injury, she got brought back in, ended up starting, looking good.
Right.
So I think you started to see the signs that maybe there's you're not going to be a part of the plans. And to be truthful, as difficult as that of a pill that may be to swallow at the moment, we'll talk about a different pill that was swallowed, red pill, I believe. but in this case specifically, I feel like once she handled it correctly, the statement that she put out right away, which is like, I'm going to be the number one cheerleader for the team, that's great. But I feel I'm comfortable with this idea of like, yo, let's flip this into a new squad, you know, other than like some of the stalwarts like Crystal Dunn and whatnot. But this is going to be a youth movement. Emma Hayes is coming in. I asked Lisa Carlin on the show today, like, all right, in the past, this was Alex Morgan's team. Who's that player now? This is blank's team. And she said, it's Emma Hayes. It's not any players. And when she said that, it made a lot of sense as to why you would do this.
Yeah.
You now are the top dog in the camp. You're now the top dog in that locker room. And it makes complete sense. At the end of the day, she's going to be able to institute a lot of her tactics. And there's not really going to be any pushback. There's not going to be any, you know, yeah, you got your Lavelles and whatnot. But for the most part, you're going to have like a slate of folks that are like, looking directly to you to kind of guide them. Right. Yeah, I kind of like that. I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Also, Alex Morgan hasn't scored in like 8 matches.
I was going to say, she only has one goal in the entire end of
the season. Yeah, and I would go even back further to the Women's World Cup, where didn't score there as well.
Yeah,
The whole team missed a penalty. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's just been a long stretch of this player that is clearly, arguably, the most popular player that maybe ever played for the U.S. Women's National Team, and somebody that is will definitely who still has a lot to offer, but the last couple of years have not been great. And I think there's, you know, I forgot who it was. Somebody highlighted like the fact that obviously she had a baby, came back, and was doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. But it's like, is age catching up? Is it just something that like...
I mean, at some point, you just get aged out of the group. Yeah. Especially if they're like, hey, it's a whole youth movement.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of, look, very, very strong. The talent is unbelievably strong. Yeah. So, and you know, with the Olympics, it's a, you know, 18-person roster. So it's just, the spots are just so limited. And so it's something, I'm sort of surprised at the... Not outrage, but like sort of the outcry. Like people,
I just think it's a quick reaction to seeing not seeing like, a familiar face.
To me, it's a little bit. If you're upset that Alex Morgan is not on this team, I don't think you've been watching Alex Morgan the last year.
And like the bigger thing too, they don't know a lot of these other names. Like even the players that like because the USWNT didn't do that great at the Women's World Cup. Like these names did not become like household names. Yeah.
Well,
like,
some of them didn't even play.
Exactly,
which is like absurd.
But come on, your front three are gonna be. Swanson, Smith,
and Rodman. Crazy.
Bro, SSR, dog. That's going to be crazy.
I don't think... okay, so this is also something to highlight, which is remarkable, that all the forwards on the national team going to the Olympics are all black players.
That's great.
Which is just a historic... thing because again the U.S. Women's National Team, even the Men's National Team, has not always sort of shown the diversity that the country has to offer.
Right.
But this is incredible.
Also goes to show the strides that the women's game has made in all communities, which 100%. Is great.
So
also you might be a little surprised to see one person listed as a forward here.
Yeah, Crystal Dunn.
Crystal Dunn, who people have been saying, please stop making her a defender, make her a midfielder. Emma Hayes said, I heard what you said. I'm
going to
do even
better. She's going even further.
Yeah, sure. Be all the way in the front.
So
they did say that they're just listed in positions. They don't have to play that position.
Of course, yeah. And I think Crystal Dunn is on this roster because she can play anywhere on the field.
That's literally how they chose this. They wanted people that could play any position on the pitch.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing gives you a little bit of an idea as to how Emma Hayes wants to play.
Yes. So
it's gonna be exciting.
But the front line, the forwards that were selected, Jaden Shaw. Sophia Smith, Mallory Swanson, Trinity Rodman, Crystal Dunn. This is a strong attacking
SSR, bro.
Bunch, okay?
You're very close to USSR, bro. I'm just getting a little
more. I'm sticking with just SSR.
I like it like CCCP, bro.
No one's ever used this.
So that's huge. Oh, but we have to obviously talk about one player added to the roster that
probably not a fan of the fact that all the forwards are. Oh wait, no. That's probably not.
Hold on, we can't confirm.
Yeah,
just,
we
whatever.
Can't we confirm just, that.
But Corbin Albert
is that Emily Fox next to her? By the way,
yes, yes.
Can you just show the face, Emily Fox?
She's like, what? Anybody
I
else?
The, I directly underneath her as well. Like,
So Corbin Albert plays for PSG. I'm mistaken. She's been selected, and some people are not happy about this decision. You know, we've spoken about this because she, you know, a couple months ago, the news came out. She had been liking very...
And sharing.
Liking and sharing posts that were...
ventured in the anti-LGBTQ or making jokes of...
Making jokes. Kind of, she liked the post about... somebody wishing, you know, or enjoying the fact that Megan Rapinoe had gotten injured.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And which is venturing out of just your beliefs. That's venturing into wishing ill your potential teammate.
Not great. So the
they share a number, right? Does she not have Megan Rapinoe's number?
I don't know if she's going to continue having that number. Also, the Olympic numbering system is different. I don't think that's going to be the case. But a lot of people were upset, Megan Rapinoe included. A lot of, like we mentioned, anti-LGBT stuff that she posted and shared. And
some former teammates are coming out and saying she needs
to
do a little more.
It's been great to see Sam Mewis talk about this on her show. Mm-hmm. And you know, a couple of players have spoken out about it. So the interesting thing now is that after Emma Hayes made the selection, now everybody's like, all right, well, why did you pick her, given what we sort of know? And
especially since she was supposed to be on tour with Chappelle and Rogan.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know what I mean? I'm surprised that she postponed
took time
that
off.
To do this.
To do that. That's really cool. As she said, the reason she did it is because she wanted to go and make the women's national team great again.
Yeah. I mean? Which is it's great to see.
Because, you know, they lost in the last World Cup.
So we need, this is what we need more of this. All right.
Who cares?
But the fact that, so Emma Hayes has to answer for this. And her comments were, I think in general, and please look up Sam Mewis's comments on this, because I think that's especially from a you know, recently retired player, but obviously was playing with a lot of the players that are playing in these Olympics. You can tell that her response and her statements are very, meaning Sam Mewis, her statements are very like, It's much more transparent than I think even current players can even say.
Well, Sam Mewis being retired,
she's like, let me
let my hair down.
So I'm gonna basically what I tend to feel is like what Sam Mewis is saying is probably what all the other players feel, but they
or at least the core of the players we know.
Yeah, leadership. Well, it's probably feeling the same exact way, but you know, Emma Hayes and U.S. Soccer have decided, like, hey, we are going to include this player in our plans and for the future because she's a baller, right?
She is very good, and that's the other part of it. She is very good at the sport.
So it's not, you know, what the annoying part is that the discourse tends to be is like, why can't conservative players be on the team and whatever? And it's not exactly that.
There have been, and there always will be conservative
players. There are plenty,
players.
Exactly. Yeah. That it's not just about being conservative. It's about you just openly... bigoted, when you share openly bigoted things, and the people that you are targeting also play on your team.
There you go.
It's like, hey, it's gonna make for an awkward water cooler conversation at the office.
Imagine I shared a tweet that was like, I hope all Dominicans die. And then I just walked back into the show and be like, what's up, Christian?
Hey, that was a strange thing you retweeted.
Hey, real quick, Christian, how you feeling?
You know?
How's your health?
I didn't appreciate that you quote tweeted it, facts.
Yeah. And I made this shirt, Christian. But what I'm trying to say is, like, just imagine there was that wild disrespect. You, even if it wasn't a political statement, you would feel some type of way.
Exactly. And that's kind of why I think it's a little bit disappointing. Emma Hayes' comments... shout out to our friend Meg Linehan, who had spoken to her during one of the press conferences. And she gave a statement, but she highlighted like that Corbin is doing a lot of work. We're having these lot of conversations. But the conversations are...
There's a lot of learning and unlearning whenever things like this happen, huh?
The tone tends to be about like, hey, we've told her... what's appropriate and inappropriate, like what you can't do when you represent this national team.
Right.
And it's not like you can't believe these things. It's like, yo, don't share these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's
don't make the general public aware of these beliefs.
Yeah, and that's what the tone. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what she said, but that's if you look at the statement,
the gist feels like that.
It feels like that is the criticism of Corbyn from Emma seems to be about that. About like
that you made it public.
Yeah, like etiquette, more about how you carry yourself. And
because what are you going to do? Like, clearly from the videos we saw, right, that her family have very strong beliefs in this case.
Exactly.
And, you know, she may be a product of that. Mm-hmm. She may also believe them as well. I don't know her at all. You're not going to change the way her family thinks. Like, her family's not all of a sudden going to be like, maybe we shouldn't build that wall.
Yeah. You know? There's a little bit of like, you can't put the toothpaste back in, right?
Yeah.
We already sort of know, until she comes out and saying like, hey, those things that I shared were gross. I don't believe them. It was a mistake.
Or even if she says,
I've learned,
like,
or
asked my teammates. I don't treat them differently. I don't believe those things. I clicked on it by mistake. Whatever the case may be, or I thought it was funny and it shouldn't.
I was hacked.
Yeah.
Say you hacked. Yeah. Yeah. Go with the tried and true.
If you let her say that, she'd be like, the Democrats. I mean, no. We're trying to help you, Corbyn.
So we can joke around, but we can speculate because there's no statement. And that's why I liked about Sam Mewis, because she basically stated like, hey, if all this work is happening, why doesn't she come out and say that? And say
like my teacher used to say, show me the work.
Show me the work.
Show me the work. What?
Can you look? Can you do long division?
Right. I don't walk in here with just the answers, Alexis. Show me the work. And I was like, trabajo. You know?
So that's kind of the problem. It's just like we're probably never going to get it. So I don't know what the exact plan is. But to me, U.S. soccer should try to get ahead of this and give a real explanation rather than just like we're handling it internally, because it's not going to go away and she's going to get booed. And this is the thing that
every time she touches the ball.
Emma Hayes pointed out that the way the fans are treating her is affecting her a lot. And it's like, all right,
wait a minute. The fans have never met her. Why would they treat her differently just because they've never met her personally? They don't know what's in her heart.
Right. Yeah. How could they?
Telling me that someone hates someone else without ever meeting them?
Look, it's not fair. It's not right.
Wow.
So
I feel so bad for Corbyn now that you say that.
So she's saying and the fact that she is sort of running point in like defending, not even defending Corbyn now, and she's not defending her statements, but she is being like, she's a young kid. She didn't know what she was doing.
Right.
It's like, that's not going to stop the booing.
Like, wasn't she like dressed as Ted Cruz in a video?
It's like,
what was the video?
Yeah,
again?
Something like that. I forgot what it was. Somebody was dressed as like Pelosi or something that. It's not great. So because we've all seen what the family's done. And as far as either let's just like you had mentioned before, like, just be like, yo, she can ball, and that's it. And we're going to have to deal with the booing. Like, if it's just that, then fine.
Emma should just say that.
Yeah.
Like, yo, look, she a baller. That's what it is, bro. She's going to have to deal with that on her own.
Okay. Look, I don't know when her January 6th trial is, but, like, whatever. Yeah. She's going to be at the Olympics.
Yeah, dude. She going to get pardoned, bro. It's all good.
Okay. So if that's what it's going to be, then that's what it's going to be. But you can't complain about the booing.
No.
This is how they handle it.
Also,
that's
ridiculous to complain about booing. Also, I do want to give a shout out to a Lindsay Horan who stayed with the chain outside the shirt. Is she from Jersey, bro?
I don't know where she's from. I think she's from, like, Seattle, Washington. Yeah.
Bro.
She got the Cuban.
Right?
Golden, Golden Colorado.
Golden Colorado.
Shout out to them.
How fitting.
Bro, that's called full circle.
On the way out, huh?
Look at this.
In fact, pass me one. Come on. It's the last day. Last time ever.
Look at this.
Let's get these out of the fridge.
Look at the free promo.
Huh?
All right. So that's where we'll wrap up.
Actually, you know these are done being cold. When the mountains turn blue,
mm-hmm.
and the mountains just turn blue on our relationship with Milan.
all love. No, man. So this, like we said, this is our final episode with Metal Arc, and I can only say it's an incredible opportunity and meeting all those folks.
Yo, I miss the sound of that like right? can opening. That's a good ASMR.
All those folks.
Mike, you want one?
Nah, I'm good. I'll take one later.
Okay. But all those.
You can't cheers and I'll take a sip.
It's bad. Okay, apologies. All right, there we go. But again, been a dream to work with a lot of people that we, you know, were watching on TV for a long time. A bunch of people.
It was a massive step in the right direction for us.
Exactly.
A lot of good things came from this relationship. So hopefully it's not the end. Hopefully, you know, we get a chance to see some of these folks and work with some of these folks in the future.
And it won't be. I mean, we still have a lot of relationships with a lot of the folks there. I was literally just on the train. I bumped into Amino Hassan. So
hilarious.
So it was unbelievable.
How much you paying this guy that he's also taking the train?
Okay. Can't even Uber or meet around. Damn. No, man, it's this will always be a very memorable time in our lives. Like, you know, my son was born in the time, mm-hmm. With us at Meadowlark.
And he's producing our show. And he's just
beautiful. So, and we got to work with just an incredible human being in Miguelito, who I also hope it is not the end of working together. So,
By the way, behind the scenes, you know, Mike has absolutely taken such an ownership of the show and has cared so much at moments where, you know, our lives are crazy. He's got a kid. I'm waking up at 3 a.m. to get to work. And Mike has been an absolute gem, worked so hard on the show, cares so much, is as excited as we are when videos hit a certain number and, you know, reels do a certain thing or TikToks or we get a bunch of engagement or comments. He's just as excited as we are. It sucks that we won't be able to continue working right immediately, but hopefully there's a way for us to work together in the future because you are as important to the show as anyone else in this room, as anything else that's happened in this room. You've been an absolute gem. And,
appreciate it. No, I appreciate that. And obviously, like I've said before, this has like been honestly the dream job for me, like talking about soccer, producing a soccer podcast. This is all I've ever wanted to do, and you guys have taught me so much, and it's been really cool. Obviously, like, you guys are the easiest talent I've ever had to work with, the best talent I've ever gotten a chance to work with. Huh? So,
like you said,
like, hopefully this isn't the end forever, but genuinely, Gully Squad, everyone that listens, thank you. I've seen all the comments about me leaving. It's been really, you know,
they love you, bro.
It's been really heartwarming.
They kind of like us. They love you.
It's been genuinely heartwarming. And so, yeah, I can't thank you guys enough. It's been so cool. And, yeah, like you said, hopefully somewhere down the road we'll be doing something together again.
Yeah, and the fact that your mom is here. I know, it's crazy. We can thank her as well for raising a good boy.
Yes.
She did her best. I'm okay. She did a great job.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how many children you have, but this one you got right.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother's all right. He's fine.
We haven't met them yet, but we're still out on the other ones, but this one, great job.
That's definitely the hardest part, but we're excited about the future. Like I mentioned before, every time shows move to different networks, there's probably always some issue with podcast feeds or whatever.
Yeah, there may be some growing pains. Hopefully there isn't. But we're trying our hardest for that.
For some reason on Monday you do not see a new episode of The Cooligans, it is because your feed has not updated. So go look for it. Just search for The Cooligans on whatever podcast platform that you use.
But and the YouTube. If it's done YouTube will still be out.
Yeah, like, YouTube will still be there. Yeah.
But if everything is done correctly, nothing will literally change for you on how you
We've
get
been
the
told
show.
That nothing, it should be a seamless transition.
That
but,
is the promise.
But I've worked in IT for a long time. It's usually never the case. Okay. No. There's always a couple.
Turn it off and turn it back on.
There's always a couple issues. You usually it's user error.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The IT guy's blaming you. Crazy. But, hey, no, don't look in that folder, IT guy.
But we're excited about the future. So come Monday.
Shouts to Yahoo, bro. We're so excited. I can't wait for you guys to hear the plans.
Congratulations, we have coming guys. Up. You guys deserve it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. So a lot to look forward to, everybody.
One last poppy on the way out, bro.
That's right. Obviously.
And then we will burn this file. We will
just burn the whole device.
That was not necessary.
Just bury it or whatever. But no, as always, thank you to everybody, the Levitard fans, the Meadowlark universe, for welcoming us. And again, it has really, really been a really cool opportunity for us. And like I said, working with everybody that we have has been super, super dope.
Say goodbye, Mike.
Bye, guys. Love you guys. I'll steal Alexa's line. I'll do the love you guys for this episode on the way out.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Catch us on Monday with a brand new episode. All right, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.